Now let us continue the life of Mary Sutton. Well, Mary allowed her love for her husband, Max, to force her to stand by him through thick and thin, despite the fact that in the eyes of the people of Sanders, he is a criminal. She knew these people would talk, that they would disapprove of the way she was holding her head high and going on about caring for herself and her babies as though nothing had happened. But Mary didn't care about that gossip, ignored it, until on Friday, she learned that the same gossip was on the verge of hurting Reverend Blaine, who at the moment was sheltering her in his home in turn for Mary's services as a housekeeper. It came about when Mrs. Proust, jealous-hearted, socially-minded character of Sanders, told Mary that the congregation objected to Reverend Blaine's attitude toward her and her husband, Max, and that if she didn't move, there'd be trouble for herself and possibly for the young, kindly preacher. Now it's Monday morning again in the town of Sanders. Max Sanders, once the leading citizen of the thriving little community, now awaits trial as a party to the recent gambling activity. Mary, realizing that Max has troubles of his own, turns to Dr. John Benson for advice and help. The scene, John's office at the children's clinic.
Come in, Mary. You're out early.
Well, hello, John.
How'd you know I was here at the clinic?
Called your office and didn't get an answer, so I took a chance.
Oh, sit down.
Thanks.
Take off your coat?
No, I can only stay a few minutes. Let the children alone. Reverend Blaine's working on next Sunday's sermon. John, I've got to talk to you.
Okay, Mary. What's on your mind?
John, I need some money. Not a lot, but I need it very badly and quickly.
For Max?
No, for myself. Remember last week you said people were beginning to talk about how I'm sticking to Max and trying to hold my head up?
Yes.
I said I didn't care, but I do now. I did a very foolish thing on Friday.
You sound like you gambled away your whole week's earnings and left the baby starving.
Oh, I did worse than that. John, you know the Proust, don't you?
Certainly. What about them?
Well, Mrs. Proust came to Reverend Blaine and told him that she and the rest of the congregation didn't like my living at his home. Didn't like the way he was, well, picking up for Max and for me.
Think the Proust will cause trouble, huh?
Mm-hmm, they might. They've always been jealous of the Sanders, and with Max and the trouble he's in, they might have the idea that now's the time to move in. They can't hurt me, but they can hurt Reverend Blaine. So I'm going to move out of his home right away.
Where do you want to go?
Back to the Sanders mansion.
That's a little cost of fortune to keep up, Mary.
No, no, John. I figured it out last night. I'll only open part of it, and with summer, I won't have to heat it, so it won't be so expensive. Suppose I could take the money I need out of the interest. Now, I don't think that's wise right now.
No, you're right about that. But with the threat that Spring Hotel going to pot with that raid, the interest is in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you want?
Oh, $50 will be plenty, John. And I'll pay you back just as soon as Max is free.
$50? Is that all?
Oh, yes, that'll be plenty. That'll keep me and the baby for almost a month. By that time, I know everything will be all cleared up. How silly.
Phyllis. Mm-hmm. She's coming along all right. I'll probably move her home the end of the week.
Hmm.
I've got to tell Danny he's got to buy a wheelchair.
Will she have to stay in it long?
Maybe. Can't tell yet. There you are, Mary.
John, I appreciate it.
Forget it. Our friendship isn't worth $50. We ought to give it back to the Indians. Hey, have you seen Max since he talked to the DA?
Oh, just for a short while. He's awfully downhearted, John. I wish you'd... Well, go see him and talk to him. He loves you, John. Max has done a lot of bad things, but he's done a lot of good things, too.
I know. Mary, I avoided Max because... Well, I've acted like such a heel in this whole thing. When he came to me with all that talk that he wasn't good enough for you, I agreed with him. I didn't believe a word he said about cleaning up the racket just because he loved you. It just didn't make sense.
John, I've always thought there are a lot of things in life which don't make sense, but which are very lovely. I think Max is one of them. He doesn't make sense. He has the heart and soul of a poet, and yet his language and his manners are as rough and tough as a prize fighter. And look at Mr. Cheney, a hardened gambler. He didn't make sense when he dropped everything and threw for the medicine to save Phyllis' life.
And you never made sense to me either. I suppose, because I always have and I always will love you, Mary. Do you think it's possible that everything we love doesn't make sense? It's a funny thought, isn't it?
Yes. Suppose that's why they coined the phrase, love is blind. Yes, it has to be. John, Will you go to the jail today and, well, talk to Max? It'll do him so much good.
I'm ashamed to, Mary. Really, I am. I wouldn't blame Max for, well, trying anyhow to kick me out.
Oh, no, he won't. John, remember a long time ago how we always talked about the three of us?
Mm-hmm.
You, Max, and me. That wasn't just a slogan. It meant a lot. And still does to Max and me.
Well, it does to me too, Mary.
Then talk to him today. He needs all the encouragement we can give him. It'll mean so much coming from you.
Okay, Mary. I'll do it.
Thanks, John.
Well, when are you moving back to your old home?
Oh, right away, I guess. I don't want to give Mrs. Proust any more ammunition. I'll probably have trouble with Reverend Blaine, but he'll just have to understand.
Well, if you need any help in moving, let me know. Nothing heavier than a piano for me.
All right.
Oh, well, say, Mary, think it might be better if I gave you the cash instead of that check?
Well, anyway, you say, John.
Oh, I guess it'll be all right. I was just thinking that someone at the bank might see the check. Well, you know how people talk on the phone.
Well, if you'd rather, John.
No, the heck with them. They'll talk anyway. Forget it. I'll drop down tonight and see if I can give any help.
All right. Goodbye, John. And don't forget to see Max.
I'll go there right now, Mary. Any message for him?
Oh, just say I love him, and I'll see him later this afternoon.
That's not news.
Goodbye, John.
Well, don't you say hello to your visitors?
Huh? Oh, hello, Don. Oh, I thought it was the sheriff.
I just had a nice little chat with Mary.
Oh, did you? Well, how is she?
Fine. Sends her love.
Well, that's nice, thing.
I just gave her $50.
That's nice, too. Huh? What for?
She wants to move away from the Reverend and open up a big home. Part of it, anyway. Thought I'd tell you about some money before someone else does and you lose your head again.
Oh, yeah. I got a habit of doing that, ain't I? But I won't do it anymore. I guess I lost my head for the last time. I had a talk with the DA yesterday, and it looks like I'll have a long time to cool off when he gets through with me.
I came down here for a special reason.
Well, what do you want to do? Vaccinate me?
I'd like to vaccinate that dome of yours and put some sense into it.
Well, what'd you come down here for, Doc?
Well, to give you this.
What's that?
My hand, you boob. What's it look like?
Well, what am I supposed to do with it? Kiss it?
Take it.
Yeah, well, I get it shaken, Doc. Shaken.
Sorry, I, well, after the way I have about the whole thing. I guess it just made me mad because I, well, you know, I've always,
liked me.
Let me set my own words, will you?
You said enough, Doc.
I haven't said anything yet. Shut up and let me finish.
Okay.
I had this speech all thought out. Now you got me all mixed up.
All right, I'll keep quiet, Doc. Go ahead.
Well, I love Mary more than I do you.
Sure, I know that. I don't blame you. So do I.
But, as I said, I like you, too. Married you, so I've got to like you. No other choice. Now, the whole town's turning against you and Mary for this gambling deal, and everything looks black.
Yeah, but that's all right, Doc. As long as you and Mary are with me, I don't care. I know you'll take care of my little sister, okay, and that's all I'm worrying about. You know the old gag we used to have, the three of us?
Yeah, coming over from the clinic a while ago, I did a lot of thinking. I'm a doctor, not a lawyer, you understand.
Well, say, that's news.
But I think there's one little technicality in your case, Max, the district attorney hasn't thought of.
Yeah?
Well, remember, young mug, I'm not promising anything. But inasmuch as we're pals again, I might have hit on a way to get you out of this mess.
Just what technicality of the law could a doctor think of that the famous district attorney might have overlooked?